Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the 90th episode of the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Mike Cos. I think I just mispronounced my own first name.
It's a good start. Leave it in.
That's Bob Mackowitz. I'm Mott Cos. 90, is that a big deal? What does that feel like?
Yeah, it feels like it's a big deal. I think because if you had a 90, it was like an A+. So this is like the A+ edition.
Yeah.
We should point out you've had a couple champagnes this morning.
Yeah, I've had two glasses.
Two glasses?
Yeah.
So that might be the reason behind Mott Cos.
Maybe I'll pour myself a third glass.
Let's see.
Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have, Matt. Yeah. I have thought about that.
Yeah, but remember, champagne, it's not as heavy. The alcohol by volume is less than most, you know, sort of red wine from New World, especially the thick skin.
So if it says 15%, it doesn't mean it's 15%?
Oh, if it's 15%, I'm returning it. I will not drink a champagne that's got 15%.
It's got less booze in it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really? I didn't know that. Is it more than beer?
Oh, yeah, it's more than beer.
So it's between beer and a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Wine's usually like between 12 and 15, right?
Yeah, I go like 10 and 15. I mean, if we're going to go like, you know, like Moselle Riesling or Barbera d'Asti on the low end to like a California, you know, Zinfandel, which is going to be 15 and a half, even over 16, which is just too boozy.
Right. And what's Baby Duck?
Baby Duck, I'm going to go with like 11 and a half, 12. That's just going to be a sugar experience of, you know.
Right. Did you ever drink Blue Moody?
Blue Nun.
No, not Blue Nun. Blue Moody.
What the hell is Blue Moody?
It was a wine. It mostly came in a jug kind of shape. And the label was fake denim. So it looked like a patch of a jean. So it was like a denim wine. What is it? You got the bottle here? You're bringing out the bottle?
Yeah, she's got the bottle. Well, and again, it looks like it's empty, but Amy and Christy just left. And, you know.
Oh, they had some too?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's only like literally been like a glass and a half of this.
You could never be with someone who didn't drink, eh?
No, I don't think I could. Or it would be difficult. And it's not because, you know, it's easier when someone else is drinking with you because you don't feel as bad. Mm. But a lot of it's because you like to share it, you know, and you like the toast and you like communal experiences. It's one thing we like about Twitter is when everyone is tweeting about the same thing. Like if it's an episode of Game of Thrones, you like the communal feeling. And if you're on your own, you do feel a little bit isolated. And that is legit. It's not just a shield against any sort of guilt or shame about drinking.
No, I think you've always liked the social aspects of wine.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 12%.
12%.
Yeah, 12%
alcohol. So two glasses of 12% champagne, is that enough to give a guy your size a buzz?
Not really, because I came home, and as I was driving home, I'm drinking water, and I ate food late.
Right.
So I don't think so.
Is that a myth, the eating food and drinking water makes you less drunk part?
Oh, no, it's not a myth.
That's true?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can always say that the most dangerous thing in terms of getting drunk is just the not eating, not drinking. And that often happens when you suddenly spontaneously go out and you haven't had time for a full meal. It's that, but also it's the psychology. If you're in a really good mood, that's when it's the most dangerous. When you're in a good mood and you've got nothing coming up, like, oh, I got to wake up early or anything like that. If you're in a bad mood or if you're on edge or if you know you got to wake up early, your brain, you're just, it's like you put up more defenses against it versus if you're in a good mood, it's like zombie dragon at the end of Game of Thrones, just
right,
blasting the torch. Wall.
Last time I got drunk, it was a surprise drunk. We had a TSN 1050 event. It was some kind of like Saturday.
Was it that time?
Saturday consulting session with some guy from San Diego.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Who was hiding the fact clearly in a Canadian room that he had done nothing but program conservative talk radio for the last 30 years.
Here's what Rush Limbaugh did. Do what Rush. So that was the last time you got drunk because you asked me to help, you know, to pour you different wines from the bar.
Right. We went to the bar afterwards and I planned to have a glass, but I hadn't really had any breakfast. And it was a Saturday morning. We were all sitting around chatting. And next thing I knew, Naylor and I were plastered.
Yep.
I don't even know if Dave was drunk. If he was there with me, so I assume he must have been.
Yeah.
Maybe he was tipsy. Who knows? But I was drunk and I got home and it was dark.
Yeah.
I left for a morning session and I got home and it was dark.
Well,
last time that ever happened.
Oh, yeah, that does stink. When you get home in the afternoon, you close your eyes, you wake up, and you're like, what day is it? Where am I? And then it's always, did I do anything I shouldn't have done or said anything I should have said?
Yep. So there's that.
Yeah.
So let's talk, because you're on your way to Peru. In fact, as this thing is being released, you're probably on the plane, right?
It depends. We're going to release, like right now, just full disclosure, it's 11:55 on Friday. We're going to release this probably Saturday or Sunday. And just God willing, Nylander doesn't sign a contract, because we're going to talk a lot of Leafs in this one. And we'll talk a little bit of... I want to make fun of Michael Landsberg, and there's some Jays, and there's a bunch of things.
So, and we're also going to pre-record today something to release in about a week's time. One of our evergreens where we just talk about stupid things.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid things that won't date because they're universally stupid.
And here's the menu for that one.
Oh, let's hear it.
Episode 91, My Canadian Tire Story, Underwear Etiquette.
Today's going to be a beautiful podcast, eh?
Kraft Dinner, Going from Childhood to Adulthood, TSN Radio, and Charlie Wilson's War.
Okay, let's do it. That's a perfect menu.
Yeah.
You've laid out an hors d'oeuvre sheet. You know when they give you the menu ahead of time, the prefix?
Yeah.
That prefix is great. But that's coming up in a week's time. So I want to talk to you a bit of NFL before we get into the Leafs.
Yeah.
Or should we just do Leafs now?
No, we'll get to the Leafs in a second. Let's do the NFL, the Falcons-Eagles game from last night.
Bad game.
Yeah.
Almost unwatchable. Mm-hmm. Second half a little better than the first. But mostly because it was close, because no one could score. It wasn't even like it was better. It's just that there was higher stakes because the game was almost over.
Yeah,
Atlanta stunk.
Yeah, Atlanta got a lot of yards in the first half but couldn't score. Philly couldn't do anything. Atlanta was up 6-3 at the half. And
did they give Devontae Freeman the ball when it was 4th-and-1 and they shut him down in the first possession? It was Freeman who was carrying it, right? That was terrible.
The red zone offense for Atlanta was horrible.
Five
trips, a touchdown, a field goal, but then an interception, turnover on downs, and just they ran out of time. So,
do we like the fact that Philly booed their home team after a 6-3, being down 6-3 going into the half?
I'm glad you brought that up. That was the first thing. You are such self-entitled, selfish, and more than anything, greedy. You're greedy fans. The Falcons went to the playoffs last year. You just won the Super Bowl. You're only down by 3 and you're booing. I get it. Aesthetically, it was a disaster. You're probably liquored up. And you know, some of you got to work on Friday, and that game didn't start till about 8:45. So you're thinking, I'm getting 4 hours sleep tonight for this. But still, why are you booing?
That's one of the unsung mysteries of the NFL world, is how people can get so drunk at a tailgate on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Totally bombed by about 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday. Thursday night makes sense. You finish work, you zip on down there, you throw a bag of coals and a barbecue into the back of the truck.
Yep.
You fire them up, and after 3 hours of drinking, you are good and loaded.
Yep.
Like a Matt Cause on a Friday morning.
It's 12%, and it's champagne. I'm not chugging this stuff.
No, you're sipping.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of so stupid, it was funny.
Yeah,
right. Like it was so ridiculous. You can't even get mad at it. It would be like yelling at a dog for not being able to do algebra.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so dumb. It had a charm to it.
Oh, yeah. We brought it up on the morning show on Friday. And it was. And like you heard Collins Earth and Al Michaels, they were sort of making fun of it as well. Like, what is it? What's happening? But if you're a Browns fan, you're like, what are you doing booing? We cheer if we're only down by 3.5 against anyone. You know, that was ridiculous. I think the most interesting thing from the first half was near the end of the first quarter, there was an incomplete pass from Foles to Mike Wallace. And there was a lot of incomplete passes. And Chris Collinsworth brought up the point saying, in years past, Wallace would have been decked because it was an over the middle, what they used to call a tombstone pass, which is when the quarterback would lead the wide receiver right into the zone where the defensive player is, and that receiver is going to get hit. And in this one, the defensive player, they all did their best like Neo from the
Matrix.
From the Matrix.
Dodging bullets.
Thank you. Like, that's what it looked like. And I thought it was an interesting point by Collinsworth bringing up years past, he would have gotten drilled.
You know what they did not call that pass?
Mm.
The Randy Moss special.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Guys didn't want to do it, right?
Nope.
Who wants to cut across the middle, you know, 12 yards from the line of scrimmage? So you're barely out of the box and you know you're going to get clobbered. It's a good way to move the sticks, though. What I really noticed about yesterday's game was no matter how, it takes you zero time to get back into the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? That's maybe the best way I can put it, is it just felt like you'd never left. It was like riding a bike. Even though the game was terrible.
Yeah.
Even though the fans were obnoxious.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't start till late. Didn't matter. Just sitting there watching the NFL and you feel a sense of comfort
yeah,
and happiness and joy. It's back.
It's back. It's there for you. It's there when you need it. Oh, 100% because
it's comfort food.
Yes, 100% because fantasy football and gambling and all of that. But there's Al and Chris Collinsworth. And
did you like the Green Zone?
No.
I liked it.
But, okay, I didn't hate it. I'm not someone that yells and screams. I always like networks trying.
Right.
It's why I even liked the laser, the blue puck and Fox hockey back in the mid-90s.
People hated the yellow line back yeah. in the day. They thought it was insulting to their intelligence. Mm-hmm. Do you realize the yellow line's been around for 20 years?
God, has it really been that?
98 is when it debuted on ESPN.
If you want to have fun, and for the kids out there, go back and watch a football game from like 1993 when no ticker, no first down line, and you no fantasy football updates. Every now and then, they would flash the scores in the other game. It is weird. It almost looks naked when you see the screen and there's nothing on it.
Totally Spartan.
Yeah.
So I got a couple NFL questions for you before we dive into a Leafs preseason, pre-training camp preview.
There's like Mark Masters when he's doing reports for TSN.ca. And it's like, live here for the informal preseason pre-skate. I'm like, in 2014, you would have been in New York. Like, Mark Masters doesn't want to fully admit it, but he could have been in New York covering the US Open. But now he's doing for .ca covering an informal skate.
Yeah. Austin Matthews is there.
Ding, ding, ding. So what's the NFL stuff?
All right. So a couple questions for you. Who is more likely? We'll do it almost as a pick 'em, okay?
Sure.
Who is more likely to produce the NFC champion? The NFC North or the NFC South?
Ooh. I'm going to go the NFC North.
Is this a Minnesota thing for you?
It's a Minnesota thing. And a lot of it what's based on is they remind me a little bit of Seattle. In the sense that they got a lot of guys that are productive, who aren't getting paid a lot of money. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, a couple of their defensive players. Dalvin Cook, if he's healthy, great rookie. They got hurt early last year. But, man, was this a great player in college and produced early on last season. All of them are on rookie or low-end deals, which means you can have the Kirk Cousins $20 million guaranteed. It means you can have a couple of those defensive players that are getting paid a lot of money. So it's one of those where everything works perfectly for them. Oh, God, I paused the TV, and then it suddenly went back on. Hold on a sec.
So how long did it pause for?
It didn't really pause that long. We were watching Charlie Wilson's War.
which we'll discuss in a week's time.
Well, yeah, exactly. Stick around, everyone, for 12 days from now.
So that was like a preview. That was a teaser.
Yeah.
It was the pre-skate.
Yeah.
Mark Masters could have been covering your TV going back to
there's Mark,
to live play.
There's Mark Masters, angry at Mark Rowe for Mark Rowe being in New York. But that's what I like about the Vikings. They're a very talented team. And listen, they having everything work perfectly, where you got that mix of veterans and young, productive players, everything, like in a year or so from now, they'll lose 20% of their really good players. But right now, everyone's on board, so I'm going to the NFC North.
It's true in every sport. Every sport that has a cap. You need stars that are making their money and stars to be that aren't making their money yet.
Yeah.
That's just every sport. Okay, so next question. Who is more likely to have the better regular season record, the LA Rams or the LA Chargers?
Ooh. No team has a worse home field advantage than the LA Chargers.
I don't even know where they play.
No idea.
Where do they play? They play in the Pasadena?
Sure.
I don't know.
They're playing in the La Brea Tar Pits. I have no idea. Like, literally no idea where they're playing. I'll go hipster and go the Chargers.
I think you're right.
No team had worse luck last year with their field goal kicking.
First four games all came down to field goals and they botched them all.
So what if that just evens out? Not 180-degree difference, just 50-50.
Terrific point differential, terrific turnover differential, and Joey Bosa feels like he's poised to become the most celebrated pass rusher in the game. I mean, he kind of is now, but it feels like a like a J.J. Watt kind of year is just around the corner for this kid. So who knows? And Philip Rivers is not done. Right?
Philip Rivers is still there. They've got a lot of weapons. I know they lost their starting tight end. But Denver, I think, is going to be trash. The Raiders, when you trade the 2016 defensive MVP for picks, you're kind of saying, we don't care if we win this year. So throw them out.
Kansas- hey, they were willing to turn their backs on Paxton Lynch, buddy.
Yeah. Oh,
we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah. No, that's a Bills. All right. That's a Buffalo Bills conversation. Then you also throw in that the Chiefs, you know, no more Alex Smith. And say what you want about Alex Smith. Smith actually had a really good year last year and actually threw the ball downfield a lot. And Patrick Mahomes, he might be great. He's everyone's fantasy sleeper. And if he's everyone's fantasy sleeper,
he's not really a sleeper.
He's not really a sleeper. So I think that it's an easier path for the Los Angeles Chargers. I have to say that slowly, not because they're champagne, because they're in L.A. I'm going to go to the Chargers. The Rams are everyone's sexy pick, but sometimes when you throw all these players together, and let's just see another year with Jared Goff. So I'm going to go with the Chargers.
It's a funny thing you say about sleepers. It's like the old Louis Erickson conversation in the NHL, where if everybody says he's underrated,
oh, good call.
Is he underrated?
Oh my God, Louis! Yeah, for a couple year run,
right?
Absolutely.
Did I call him Erickson or Anderson?
No, Erickson.
Okay, good.
No, you did it right.
For a second, I wasn't sure if I called him Louis Anderson, who was also a very underrated player.
Underrated comedian.
Underrated comedian for sure. Brilliant in Baskets.
Yep.
One of my favorite characters on television is he plays the mom on
in
Baskets.
In his book, let me tell you, that guy comes from a dark place.
He really does.
Shocking, a comedian who comes from a dark place.
You don't see that
He's
a lot.
The one.
So, kind of a two-part question.
Yeah.
This will go to the New York Giants in a second, but who has a bigger ego on average, NFL cornerbacks or NFL wide receivers?
This has been the offseason of Jalen Ramsey.
It really has. Did you see his latest one about how he could be a better hockey player than most of the NHLers in 6 months?
I know. And to the hockey players...
who got upset?
To the hockey players who get upset, I'm of two minds. A lot of people are like, hockey players, chill out. He's having fun. But I will say this. The hockey players at least have emotion. Telling someone to bleep off, that's emotion. So I kind of like, hey, good for you. At the other point, have fun with it. Get Jalen Ramsey to play wing for a couple games, and you go out there and defend the
It'd
Marius
be like
Thomas.
George Plimpton in Paper Tiger when he went out and he was kicking for, was it the Lions?
Yep, the Detroit Lions. Yep.
Yeah, back in the day. And if you've never read Paper Lion.
Great book.
Go and read it. It's one of the original high concept sports books. Yeah. And he was a reporter who just went and hung out with the Lions and actually played.
Yeah, George Plimpton, great works. But I'm going to go with cornerbacks are more cocky. Because when they trash talk, they don't get hit. When receivers trash talk, they can get hit. Now, in today's NFL, no one gets hit anymore anyway. But I'm going to go with the receivers. I think Demaryius Thomas and Josh Norman sort of put it over the edge. So I'll go with them because there's no more Chad Johnson or Terrell Owens or Randy Moss. So I'm going to go with the cornerbacks.
So part two of this question is, you as a lifelong Giants fan, what do we expect from Odell Beckham Jr. this year? And I don't mean is he going to be good or not, because he's terrific. But who is he going to become? What function is he going to play in the NFL? Because I can't decide whether he's court jester.
Yep.
I can't decide whether he's one foot in the future and he's representative of some new kind of NFL star, like the way Deion Sanders was back in the day. Someone who's just bigger than the game. Or I can't decide if he's just a jerk and people are going to start to tune him out. Like, what is Odell Beckham Jr.'s future?
Millennial. He's a millennial.
Interesting.
He is, and I'm gonna delve into the world of generalizations, but I'll try my best not to do the millennials are ruining blank, whatever you want. But he's sensitive. He admits it. He's all into social media. He is very much into very much into image. He uses it really intelligently. He knows his sort of place and his brand. Feels there's some of those traits are millennial. He's a really young, exciting, interesting guy. And maybe the most important thing for him is NFL ratings destroy NBA. They destroy it. Anyone out there talking about, oh, the NFL, that clunker Thursday night game did a better rating than game two of the NBA Finals. Game two of the NBA Finals. But in terms of Instagram, the NBA's got like four times the amount of Instagram followers. And Odell Beckham, that's the tip of the spear for the NFL if they want to try to compete with the NBA on a social media level.
When I was down in Aruba, we went down with some other families, and one of the families had two kids who are in, who are, I guess, 17 years old. They're going into grade 12. And the one kid was wearing a James Harden jersey for most of the trip.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, are you a basketball fan? He goes, yeah, I like it. And I go, so how come the Harden? He goes, so I just love Harden.
Yeah.
I love his Instagram account. Yeah. I love what he wears. I love the way he carries himself. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't really care about the fact that he's MVP caliber backcourt, Houston, whatever, yeah. you know, or the history in Oklahoma. None of it. Probably didn't even know he played in Oklahoma. But he just loved James Harden.
Yeah.
And, you know, we laughed about how Harden has a reputation for strip clubs and living it up
oh
and having
God,
fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
and the beard and just everything. He's larger yeah. than life. And you make a really good point because the NFL doesn't really have anybody like that.
Nope.
Anybody who's gotten close to that gets rebuffed pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton kind of flirted with a... I don't think Cam Newton had the sort of party boy image, but he had the larger than life image.
Yeah. But the problem with Cam
Newton...
He got
shot down with that?
The problem with Cam Newton, and I'm sure there's racial aspects to this, but he's a quarterback. Teams don't want the quarterback to be leading the social media charge.
It's funny. You can be arrogant.
You can be arrogant.
But you can't be into yourself.
No, you can't
and
be into yourself.
And there seems like there's a difference, right? Yeah. Like, you can be arrogant about your play.
Yes.
But not you.
Aaron Rodgers, when he did the whole relax thing, that was wildly arrogant, but that's fine. But you can't be party guy, into me, selling the brand.
You just can't be into yourself.
No, quarterback's the CEO.
It's a really great point. And I think there is a racial component to it, but also Matt Leinart. Like, nobody ever took him seriously
no.
because he was just too good looking and he liked being good looking.
Oh, yeah. Like, anytime there was pictures of him partying, you know, hot tubs and co-eds.
Mark Sanchez.
Mark's same bleeping thing. And those were two white bread guys, but the league didn't like it. Fans didn't like it because of the position they play.
Wide receiver is a bit of a step to the side because, like,
same
the
thing,
cornerback.
Tight end, Rob Gronkowski had the Gronk cruise. Had the bleeping Gronk cruise, which, like, just screamed like a four-day wet t-shirt contest. But that's fine because he's dummy tight end. But if he's quarterback, no, no, no.
I'm going to say that Rob Gronkowski is a t-shirt cannon in human form.
Yes. And they're wet.
The human wet t-shirt cannon.
Exactly.
So they blast onto you and just cover your body in wet t-shirt.
Yeah, and glitter.
Like saran wrap. That's yeah. awesome. Like when you put congrats on your text these days and now confetti comes out.
I did not know that.
Yeah, somebody sent me a congrats text on something the other day.
What were they congratulating you for?
I can't say right now.
Okay.
You know me in my mysterious ways with my business.
You're so arrogant. I'm so tired of all you people, all of you. It's private. I've signed an NDA. And really, Bob, I'm not angry at you. I'm jealous. Because just once in my life, I want to have a project or something when someone comes up to me and asks, and I'm like, I can't talk about it. That sounds so cool.
Quick sidebar here.
Yeah.
So I could be in Ottawa right now with the Prime Minister, but I decided not to go.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I've met him. Is that blasé or boring?
Wow.
Or that is that too cool for school?
That is way too cool for school. I could have been with the PM, but I've already met him. That's too cool for school.
Now,
man.
Is that a Trudeau thing? That just let Trudeau feel so available?
It's
kind of like being friended by Jose Bautista on Twitter.
Yeah, there's a good point there because, like, Trudeau is everywhere. There's no mystery to Trudeau.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think if it was Harper, I'd be like, really? You can meet Harper?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would that be like?
Yeah, or like Jean Chrétien or just so many different politicians. You're right. And if you want to meet Ford or know about Ford, just talk to any of my Etobicoke friends who used to buy drugs back in the day in Etobicoke.
Or hang out at Apache Burger?
Yeah. By the way, none of that's incorrect.
Steak Queen?
I was an Apache guy. I was not a Steak Queen guy.
Steak Queen's not bad.
I know. No, it's tasty.
It's tasty. It's
just, yeah, we're all just very, we're all very territorial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on this one. Apache, number one.
Yeah.
Okay,
so. That's my thought on Odell Beckham. As for production, he better have a damn good year. He's making a lot of money. Not as much as you might think, because every contract when it's reported, the actual nitty gritty is never as much. But the fact that the Giants kept Eli and gave Odell all that money means the Giants are going to try to go for it as long as Eli can play. Otherwise, why spend all that money on a wideout and why bring back Odell and why draft a running back number two overall unless you think you can go for it?
Which brings me to my last question, and I incorporate the Bills. You and I will always have the Super Bowl 2019 where your team beat mine, even though mine should have won.
Super Bowl 1990, but the final score 20-19.
That's right.
And by the way, the Giants outgained the Buffalo Bills, and Scott Norwood had never kicked a field goal longer than 46 yards on grass. And now you're asking him to kick a 47-yarder at the end of the game. Get out of here.
Okay, I understand. But if they played that game 10 times, how many times would the Bills have won?
More than five.
Right, exactly. Okay. They were the better team. The Giants have the amazing ability to have padded their record playing teams that were better than them, and they somehow just found a way to win that game.
Yeah, they did.
That, but so what?
Yeah.
You got the championships.
Yep.
So what?
Yes. The Giants were better that day, but the Bills were
better.
All right,
so the Bills were a playoff team last year, and the Giants finished and picked second overall. Who's going to have the better record this year, the Giants or the Bills? My final question before I move on to the Leafs.
That's great. By the way, all really good NFL. And for you came here and you're like, oh, I forgot my notes.
All my notes. Because
they
went both
full Luke Skywalker in Star Wars.
Wait till you hear me talk Leafs. I am like totally winging it.
Oh my
so
God.
So I'm right winging it. all right. So they both feel like 6-10 teams.
I think the Giants.
I think the Giants.
Well, remember Odell Beckham missed most of last year. They had no O-line, no running game.
Yeah.
They brought in Nate Solder from New England. Overpaid for him, but they brought him in. They got Saquon Barkley. O-line should be better. Running back will be better. Odell Beckham is healthy. 2 years ago, the Giants had a great defense, but again, dealt with injuries. And defenses can be very variable from year to year. So I think the Giants will have the better record than the Buffalo Bills.
Did the NFC East get better than the AFC East? Like, which of those divisions improved more? New England's New England. The Jets feel like with a quarterback, they'll be a little bit better.
Miami's the same.
Miami's the same.
Maybe a little
Miami's,
bit worse.
Miami's the samest.
Yeah, they are the
like
samest.
They feel like the same team every year.
Can you name, after Ryan Tannehill?
No, now it's getting thin. Jay Ajayi, does he count?
Ajayi scored two touchdowns
last
night.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like the closest I can get to.
God,
Ndamukong Suh's gone.
Who's the running back? Kenyon Drake.
Yes, guy.
I can't. God. How many Buffalo or Miami Dolphins? Anyway. I don't think.
The NFC East feels like Philly probably won't be as good.
I don't think
Washington could be better.
Washington, not much better. I mean, Alex Smith.
No, but better enough.
Better enough.
It feels like both of those divisions
are
just the holding patterns.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just holding patterns.
Yeah, they are.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
All right. Speaking of same as it ever was, shall we do a read here?
Oh, of course we're going to do a read.
So the reading glasses are going on.
Bob, let me tell you something right now. What do I got right here in my right hand?
You have a glass of champagne, an almost finished third glass of champagne.
Okay. You know what? You don't need to keep counting here. If I want to get my drink on, I'll get my drink on. I'm an adult. I've been at work since 4:30. You know, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. It's now 12:18. I've been awake for 8 hours. I'm not going to have you shame me. Well, speaking of champagne, who's the champagne of lawyers? He's not the Prosecco of lawyers. He's not the Cava of lawyers. Hell, he's not even the Cremant of lawyers, even though Cremant's pretty tasty. He is the champagne of lawyers. I'm talking about Jeff Pollock. He has been our lawyer for this show for ages, and there's a simple reason. He's really good at what he does. And more importantly, he treats you with respect, and he makes you feel comfortable. And that's a very difficult thing in the law world because, let's face it, we get very insecure about issues when it comes to litigation, when it comes to trusts, when it comes to anything about protecting you or your family. Well, you don't have to worry about that with Jeff Pollock. He will make sure that everything is in line, and he will make sure that you feel comfortable with your decisions going forward, anything involving the law. If you want to get a hold of him, very simple, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. It's like a pizza number. He will call you up whenever you need help. He's always there for you. He's fantastic. He's our lawyer. He should be yours.
I have a mouthful of almonds.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a second. I'm going to give the other one. SeatGiant.ca is the website. They're our Canadian partner for this show. Concert tickets, sporting events, whatever you want. And the most important thing, they convert to Canadian dollars. And man, this means a lot for me. I'm going to Peru. Hell, when you're listening to this, I might be in Peru. And I got to get things converted into Peruvian. And they're called souls. They're called souls. They're not dollars. Or I have to get American money. I have no idea the conversion between Canadian and the United States. Well, Everything you buy is in Canadian money. No tricks at all. This is a Canadian-owned and operated company, and they guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. So go to SeatGiant.ca for all your ticket needs. And when you're there, go to the checkout. Use the discount code Bob and Matt to save money. You get a little bit of money. We get a little bit of money because doing the podcast ain't free, and my champagne lifestyle ain't free either. So it's win-win. SeatGiant.ca.
Nicely done, Matt.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Like a quarterback flushed out of the pocket.
That's right.
You scrambled, you recovered, you got it downfield.
You know what the worst part is?
Mm.
My plan was, after we do the two podcasts, was to go to the gym.
Good luck with that.
Every sip of champagne turns the gym into a nap. It's so true.
So speaking of your champagne lifestyle,
yep.
I was in your cupboard and I was getting some almonds.
Yeah.
And I saw a can of Heinz beans.
Yeah.
Maple style.
That's right.
Pure, it's a good old-fashioned can of beans.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat this?
Of course. Love it.
Really?
A, I love beans. I love maple beans, beans with syrup, beans with ham. And here's the key, Bob. If you eat just a bowl of beans, make sure you do it on your own because, you know, if someone watches you do it, you'll lose a little self-respect.
6 grams of fiber, 24% of your daily value.
There you go. But here's what I do. You know, sometimes you cook up chicken. Why do you eat chicken? I want to be healthy. So it's a bit of a compromise. Cook up the chicken, cut it up into small pieces, combine it with the beans.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got the fiber.
Would you do hot dogs?
The lean protein.
Frank's and beans is awful good.
Frank's and beans is
damn
good.
I like beans
good.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no. I listen, Bob, I have range. I might go from champagne, but then I would go to Heinz. Which one is this one here?
It's the maple style.
Maple style. And it's, by the way, Bob, made with pure Quebec maple syrup.
You are a patriot.
Because when it comes to maple syrup, I need it to be from Quebec, and I want the imagery on the bottle to be like of a tree with, you know, like, you know, the drilled hole with the bucket
the
there.
The spigot.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, my nice. Can of beans.
So, Maddie, I got some questions about the Leafs.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about the Leafs, and we're going to stay away from Nylander. Because by the time this thing gets posted, he may or may not have signed. But it's immaterial in a way because even though there's bigger implications down the road, as for this season on the ice, what he signs for doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to change how he plays.
Nope.
Here's my biggest question I realized with the Leafs this year. It's not even about what I expect from them because as you and I decided months ago, we expected them to be one of the five or six best teams in the NHL.
Absolutely.
Which means they could win.
Stanley Cup.
Or they might not.
Yeah.
But they're in the conversation of teams that could realistically win a cup.
Yeah.
They finally got there. Here's my question. What changes for this organization now that they're really here? Because we've seen them go from meh for a bunch of years to quite bad to disastrous and then pull their way back up. And a lot of things have changed along the way. Some of these things seem kind of irritating, but they were in the service of the rebuild. Things like guys not wearing beards or interviews or this kind of thing. Guys keeping their egos real small. Guys not demanding the puck more. Like, it's been all in the service of the team. But now you've got a Toronto market, which is ready to love this team.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember what it's like when Toronto loves a team.
The
Leafs, think back to, like, the Quinn years or the Burns years. It's pretty hard to keep your head on straight.
It's awesome.
It's a certain kind of person who can do it. So I think we're going to learn a little bit more about this team in a different way. Like, we've seen how they've handled adversity. Mm-hmm. They've handled it really well. How does this team handle success?
Oh, yeah. It's a great question. And start from the top. How does Mike Babcock handle pressure?
Right.
He had no pressure his first 3 years. Well, now he's entering the fourth year of an 8-year deal. If the team is bad, if they are underachieving, if they go out in the first round of the playoffs, Mike Babcock now has the blessing / curse of talent.
Think of how he started his tenure here.
Pain.
With the announcement there's going to be pain.
Yeah.
What coach takes over a new team and announces ahead of time, boy, we're going to lose a lot and we're going to stink and it's going to be horrible for you fans. It will get better, but don't expect that today. Think about just up the 401 in Ottawa where they're like, you know, well, we could surprise a few teams. We got some young, fast players. They're going to be the worst team in the NHL. Bottom three for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So think about the two different messages there. Terrible team. One says we're going to stink. The other one says we'll be better than you think.
Yeah.
Now Babcock has nowhere to hide. I think it's a great point. All of those things that we tolerated last year in terms of weird line matchups and, you know, guys like Komarov getting tons of ice time, the number one goalie being overplayed, all these things that irritated the smarts. Well, now it's just going to irritate everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing, no more Komarov. And by the way, the line, everything is set up. It's in some ways, I don't want to say it's easy.
How can you screw up the top nine?
You can't.
Right? It's like Cito Gaston setting the lineup for the 92 or 93 Jays.
If Connor Brown has more power play time than Austin Matthews, then it's going to be like, step into my office.
But at the same time, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all these young players are progressing at a great clip.
Yep.
So do you have to change? Like, this is what I wonder. Okay, so now the team is in a different place. What do you change if you're Mike Babcock? Do you give Austin Matthews more ice time because he's perhaps ready to take more on his shoulders? Or do you say, well, you know, he's a point of game guy. And he's you got a lot of depth.
Here's a couple changes. One, the easy one. Frederik Andersen does not play this amount of games in minutes.
That's for sure.
Just full stop, you know, end of sentence. Yep. I think we're in agreement there.
Yep.
The second one, you do play Matthews. I mean, Tavares played last year just under 20 minutes. He was like 19 minutes and 58 seconds. You keep that. And you get Matthews close to 20. And part of the reason you do it is it will take away some of the burden of the defense. You know, just let those guys grow. Dermott's really young. Morgan Riley's got another step in him, and we all have our fingers crossed about Zaitsev. But you let those elite forwards play a lot of minutes because they're young, they can handle it, and it'll help the defense because just the simple thing is we bring up all the time, if the puck is on the sticks of your forwards, your defenseman's job is a lot easier, and you're not in your own zone as much.
The Leafs have an elite offense, five-on-five. They have an elite power play.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, up along there with Pittsburgh. Like, they're just so deep.
Yeah.
I think that would really help the Leafs is if Kadri went back to diving and refs started calling it again.
Hey, there was a piece by Travis Yost on TSN.ca about how the Leafs could be like the Washington Capitals, I think from 2009, excuse me, when they lost to Halak and the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. And that was the best offense we'd seen in terms of goals per game in like the last 15, 20 years. And he brought a case where the Maple Leafs could be like that. And the number one thing they just need to do, draw more penalties, mm-hmm. more power play opportunities. Oh, yeah. Kadri could certainly play a big part there.
We need a new rat because I feel like everyone knows Kadri's deal now.
It's true.
We need a new rat.
Ooh. Kasperi Kapanen.
Could be good.
Fast, force guys.
Andreas Janssen.
Yep.
Likes to muck it up a little bit.
Yeah. But I think back to, you know, in the playoffs against Boston, there were some good breakaways by Kasperi Kapanen, which could force, you know, a lot of hooking and penalties there. So if it can't be Kadri, Kasperi, step up. You got to be the new rat.
So we were talking about things that we expect to change, want to see change. Do we want change? The goalie situation and the number of games played by Freddie Andersen. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see the way power play time gets divided up now that Tavares is in there because they were pretty stacked before. Mm-hmm. JVR's out.
And Bozak's out. Both those guys, first team power play.
Absolutely. So just how that's going to get configured, it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I've read a lot of articles about Matthews and Nylander. They seem to have that great chemistry, but it just might be that, you know, they're both so damn good.
Yeah.
You know, of course, right. Yeah. But there's an interesting point that some NHL coaches believe in, that maybe you mix up your lines just to make sure that one line doesn't get too used to playing with everybody else. You know, like maybe you move Nylander around and you move Matthews with different partners just so that if there's an injury, guys are used to playing with other guys and you don't miss a beat. You just pick up a new line mate and you go.
Or if Marner is scoring at like a point and a half per game for salary suppression, you get him back on that fourth line.
You Vlad Guerrero him?
Oh, you Vlad. Don't even get me started there.
I'll get you started a little.
Yeah, just go full. Yeah, just get him on that fourth line. Yeah, well, this sort of goes to my question. And just to add to that, and we'll stick with the theme about mixing up the lines. Have Leaf fans, have they entered the Raptors zone? And by that, last season, no one cared about the regular season. All we cared about was the playoffs. And ironically, they won 59 games. But it was all year, no matter the Raptors have won 12 of the last 15. Everyone's like, let me see what you do in the postseason. Are we there with the Leafs where we don't care about the regular season. And thus, you know, then you're all for mixing up the lines if it's about getting ready for the postseason. Or is the pushback being the wacky NHL playoff system, meaning you got to win?
I don't think that the Leafs fans are there yet, mostly because the playoff losses, the nature of the losses for both organizations were very different. It feels like the Leafs in the last 2 years had their version of the Brooklyn Nets series, where they went deep and perhaps it was closer than some people thought. Certainly that was true in the Washington Capitals loss the first year.
Yeah.
But even against Boston, people knew that this is a tough matchup and it wound up, you know, you play seven games. It wasn't like losing to the Cavs. It wasn't like...
Okay.
Show me what you got in the playoffs. I don't think we're there yet.
Okay. Now, it wasn't the embarrassing losses that the Raptors experienced the last couple of years.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest difference. I also think it's only been 2 years that they've been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So we're not there yet.
I think we're 1 year away from it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
This is the show me year.
Yeah.
This is the show me year. For everybody who's been waiting for the team to be good enough to have expectations, now there's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
The league loves them. You know, everyone around the league is singing their praises.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Leilani Tavares. How do you not sing their praises?
And that brings me up to a point when we talk about projecting who the Leafs are going to be. We've talked about Tavares a lot, except for there's one thing. We don't have a lot of historical precedents to draw upon when a team gets this injection of talent. The last time was the Bruins with Zdeno Chara. Since then, we don't have it. So when we talk about how good the Leafs are going to be and we try to chart their growth and compare them with Pittsburgh or the Blackhawks, which are all very, you know, I get those comparisons. But Pittsburgh and Chicago never early on in their rebuild got a 27-year-old all-star player. They never had that.
Like, see, that's the key, right? It's the age, I think. It's the experience. Because there are teams that get that infusion of talent. Like when the
32.
Oilers...
32.
Well, when the Oilers get a Connor McDavid,
yeah,
they're already wildly better. And you can see every time McDavid's on the ice, they're just a different team.
Yeah.
So you can chart that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't chart is the idea of a veteran guy coming in and infusing that. Because you just don't get that in the NHL. It's a very good point. You know, and even guys like, you know, Rick Nash goes to the Rangers. But so what? He's not Rick Nash from Columbus.
No.
He's not the same guy. You know, Kevin Shattenkirk goes to the Rangers. You know?
Great.
Yeah, great. Like, no, it's good.
1 year and then, you know, they did nothing.
You know, Ryan McDonagh goes to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Of course, it's good.
But it's not this.
It's not this.
So when we're trying to project the Leafs and we go with other teams from the past and try to draw comparisons, the fallacy or the fault in that is to try to, when you include Tavares, we don't have anything to compare it to. So that, in some ways, is the most exciting thing about the Leafs is, you know, they're going Captain Kirk. They're boldly going where no man's gone before.
And once again, that sets us back up to the expectations. I don't think there's any point in arguing about the forward lineups because you can't botch the top nine.
Nope.
And the next, you know, that bottom line will be better than last year's.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Matt Martin to worry about. It's just they've got better players.
Yeah.
They have better forwards. You'd have to work really hard to screw it up.
Yeah.
I think the defense is probably a little underrated. People talk about them as though they're awful. I don't think they're awful.
They've got three good defensemen. They only allowed a couple more goals last year than Tampa. Now, part of that Tampa scheme, you know, is much more up and down. But the Leafs were also an up and down, like, offensively. They're, you know, they can be, when they have been for parts, an aggressive team, which means it's going to hurt you defensively. It's like in the NFL when run-and-shoot teams would allow 27 points or Golden State would allow a lot of points because, you know, they're scoring so quickly, they're giving the other team more opportunities. Full year of Travis Dermott, Morgan Rielly still has another gear.
You think so? Most guys by his age have kind of shown you who they are.
But defensemen take till about 27.
That's what they say. I'm not sure I believe that.
Oh, no, if you look at the statistics for the Doughties and Letangs of the world, it takes them a couple years longer. And Rielly feels like he's 29, but he's not that old.
Rielly's been in the league since, what, 2012?
Yeah,
around his first year? Like, he's been around a while.
But he's not that old of a player. Gardner, he's exactly who he is. He ain't getting any better. Morgan Rielly, there's not a demonstrative jump, but he does have at least one more level he could go.
We haven't seen him with a really great defensive partner.
Yeah.
And we may not get that again this year. I don't know if there's anyone necessarily you would say, well, this guy's going to elevate his game.
Yeah.
They've been playing mix and match with the left and the right, and the right is clearly deficient as compared to the left. So that would be a way in which I think he could get better. But I don't think the Leafs have that option. I also am not sure that the Leafs defense in the regular season is going to look the same as it does in the playoffs. Because they may get to the trade deadline and say we're close, and there's another team that's disappointing. And they're willing to part with a right-handed defense, the defensive partner for O'Reilly or as someone top four.
Yep.
They have a lot of assets to work with. So I don't even think we necessarily need to panic about the roster as constituted in October, because it may not look that way in March.
Morgan Riley is 24.
It's amazing, isn't it?
24 years old. He had his best year, 52 points. And he did that in 76 games. Morgan Riley does have one more step. He's not going to be the true elite, but he could be the second tier. So if you want to have hope for the defense, you think a full year of Travis Dermott, and you think Morgan Riley's got another year left in him. And as long as you ignore the last half of Game 7 against Boston, Jake Gardner is a good defenseman.
He is a good defenseman.
Yeah.
People who don't like him have been sort of programmed by all those years of the team trying to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And besmirching him in the public sphere.
Yep.
You know, whether it was the Dave Nonis years or whatever. Like, they just didn't like Jake Gardner for one reason or another. And all we ever heard about was he'd be great to trade.
Yeah.
You know, and his mistakes, you know, I mean, that's who he is. You know, defensemen, we know. When they make mistakes, they're glaring. Goalies have it the worst. Defensemen have it second, and forwards have it the easiest, particularly the wingers.
Yeah.
So I would say we're all, as you pointed out earlier, we're all counting on Zaitsev to be a little better.
Just
at least
a little better.
You don't have to be great.
No.
You don't even have to justify the contract. You just can't be a disaster. And for somebody to step in and fill that extra spot.
Yeah, just it's like Connor Carrick at better enough where the final pairing isn't a disaster.
I like Connor Carrick.
Yeah.
I like Connor Carrick if he's going to be out there with Travis Dermott and they're going to be playing 12 minutes a night. I'm pretty sure they're not going to.
I hope Travis Dermott gets more. I just, first off, Ron Hainsey, cut those minutes back by 15-20%.
They do have to. They do have to.
Cut him back and let, you know, this, you know, Travis Dermott's going to be the one. That's like for the defense. That's the guy that has the largest ceiling that he could do a job.
But he also has two defensemen who are better than him ahead of him.
Great.
And it's hard to know how to get him more minutes unless you're willing to switch sides with him. And mm-hmm. I don't know that they should do that. Maybe they should. I don't know. That's up to the player. Some people respond to it well. Some people don't.
Couple other thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah. But by the way, this podcast, I don't know if it's the champagne, it's flying. We're 48 minutes in.
Are we really?
We are 48 minutes in.
Well, the NFL gave us a lot of material.
Yeah, it really did. Couple just contract talk. Darren Dreger said, I quoted this other day, a Western Conference GM said, I'll buy you the best steak dinner there is if Austin Matthews signs for a dollar less than what McDavid is making. And you know what? 12 and a half a year? That feels fair for Connor. That feels fair for Austin Matthews. It's just Connor McDavid decided to leave $2.5 million per year off. You know, he could have taken all of it, but he didn't.
I think that we talk about money, but what we should talk about is percentage of the available cap.
Yeah, $15 million. That's the highest that you can get.
Like the CBA allows you to sign up to 20% of your overall team salary to one player.
Yeah,
and I think McDavid came in at like 17%.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you signed $12.5 million, so just do the math. And by the way, anyone listening, could you please do the math? We don't really want to do the math.
Matt's got three glasses of champagne and a can of beans in front of him.
Yeah, that's true. That is an odd combination. But
I don't. How would they taste together?
Not the worst. But if I'm going to do like these sort of beans, I'm going to want something a little bit of sweetness. So maybe like a German Riesling or a New World Chardonnay. I would New World Chardonnay with the beans would be good. That's what I would do.
Who could disagree with that?
Exactly.
Because we don't know what it means.
Yeah.
So final thought on the Leafs for me is preseason. It's hard to know exactly what to expect because guys are just coming back and they're settling back in. We'll see more when we get to October and they're playing real games.
But yeah.
One thing I think we all believe, maybe just on act of faith, is that the Marlies under Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas's auspices have been developed enough that somebody from that group is going to come up and contribute.
Yeah.
And hopefully Mike Babcock allows that.
It's another question about Babcock. Will we have the first 10 games, or the, like we did last year, the blue wave, the offense is going, right, and then you're going to hear the stupid commentator, and they're going to say the line that I want to punch them in the throat. Oh, the coach can't be liking this. When it's like 5-4, and they're racing back and forth, and it's super fun. And
it's fun for the fans, but the coach is going to hate it.
Oh, my God, I hate that. Just, why doesn't it? Anyway, will we get that? How will Babcock, how will he deal with all this talent offensively?
You know, it's just a Babcock year.
Yeah, it's totally.
It's a Babcock
year. It's a Babcock year. You know, you can't
put together a better roster.
No.
Not with the, you know, they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, I planted my flag in this about a week and a half ago. There's more pressure on Babcock than anyone else. Shanahan's done his job. Dubas has done his job. All right there, Babsy. You're the highest paid coach. You're in year four. You've won a cup and a gold medal. Go.
See, in theory, it should be up to the players. But nobody believes that these players aren't already good.
Yeah.
So if they take a step back, if the team takes a step back or can't move forward,
yeah,
then I'm 100% with you. People are going to look at the coach and the way that the players are being used. A player gets a certain buffer of confidence from the fans once you believe he's good.
Yeah.
Then you can only screw it up if you're the coach. He can only be messed with at that point.
It's the blessing and the curse of talent.
Right.
Yeah. Bob, this has been fun.
Yeah, it's always good. And so next up, we'll do some stupid talk for everybody for a week's time.
Yeah, we'll do an evergreen one. Like this podcast, it's Friday, it's 12:42. Throw it up some point this weekend. And then we're going to do the next podcast, which will go the week after, because I'm in Peru. As Bob, you were looking at my living room. It's packed with, it's like there's stuff all, like this, this is the dirtiest, or the least, the most messy you've ever seen my condo, isn't it?
We'll get into this in the next podcast, because I have all kinds of questions about how one packs for Peru.
By the way, for the next one, I will tell you what was the first thing I packed. And by the way, I'm doing a 4-day trek in Machu Picchu. Where we go, whatever. We go 4,200 meters above sea level. So, you know, there's a lot to pack. I'll tell you the first thing I packed for the trip. It's wildly unsurprising.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.